Good morning. I'm Pastor Allen. We're glad you're here this morning. And hopefully you have a bulletin, a program. And it's got a few announcements in there we want to make you aware of, and others you can read for yourself. I want to congratulate you all on your generosity. The amount's not up here, but if you look, we passed our goal. So let's thank God that we reached our goal for missions this spring. Easter, and if you haven't given yet, we'll still accept it, but we're certainly celebrating this morning. This Friday night, we've got something for everyone to do. If you're a lady, you get to go to the women's retreat at our house. The rest of us will be here at church for movie night. So Friday night, actually the ladies' retreat goes on until noon on Saturday. Now, Aaron asked me to announce this. We have a need of children's workers. Children's workers on Sunday morning. We're trying to get a youth program. Our student program started on Wednesday night. And then we need workers for Bible school in August. And a special need is for a children's worship leader. That kind of happens the same time our worship is going on in here. So if you can help in any of those areas, either talk to Aaron or myself or mark it on your response card. Speaking of response cards, you have a card in your material there. That's for you to give us information about yourself when you're comfortable doing that. It's a way to communicate with us. It also has a place to put prayer needs and comments on the back. And it's also a decision card, and we'll collect these at the end of the service. And let's see, is there anything else we need to cover this morning? I think that's about it. There is a teaching outline in your material starting on the back, and I'm going to be doing the teaching this morning. You'll need to get that out now. And so let's pray and begin our teaching time. Thank you, Father. It is a great joy and privilege to be here in your presence in this place of worship this morning. We thank you for everyone that you've brought here. We know they're not here by accident. God, that you have something special specifically for them. And God, I would ask that you would direct my words, let them be truly yours. That your Spirit would work in our hearts and minds, that we would be humbled, that we would bow our knee to you and to your will this morning. Let it all be for your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we started a new series last week. It was called Unstuck, Moving Beyond Mediocrity, and we're going to pick that up week two today. Last week we talked about getting unstuck in your faith. Today we're going to be talking about getting unstuck in your finances. Why would we need to talk about that? Well, we live in a culture of instant gratification that causes a lot of different issues and problems, but one of the big problems is finances, and specifically debt is a big problem. If you're not familiar with Dave Ramsey, I'm going to introduce him to you. We teach his financial class here at the church. We're doing it right now. And so we're going to see a couple clips from him. He's a pretty entertaining guy, so I think you'll enjoy it. And we're going to show you the first one now.
Tonight's lesson is particularly hard for a speaker, a teacher like me. Because, see, my job is to bring you ideas that you accept as your own. That's called learning. If you accept them as your own, it's going to cause you to go do things differently than you used to do things. The problem I've got this evening is I've got an uphill battle, because this lesson goes directly perpendicular against everything in our culture. Just about every message out there talks about how smart and wise you are to go into debt, and I am going to make the rarefied and crazy statement that I think debt is dumb. I think it's stupid. Well, a few of you are kind of getting the idea that maybe that'll work, you know. But can you imagine if I go into a public setting and I'm speaking, you know, in a motivational seminar with a big lineup of big name seminar guys and that kind of thing, and then I get up there and I'm the guy saying, in this culture, car payments are stupid, credit cards are dumb, and home equity loans crazy? I mean, can you imagine that I'm the guy that says you can be a student without a student loan? I mean, that is exactly against everything you hear out there. And so what I've got to do is more than just merely tickle your brain a little bit to get you to look at things differently. I've got to completely crush a cultural paradigm to even be heard on this subject. I'm going to attempt to do that in our time together. With some of you it will work, and some of you are going to go, he's just crazy. The boy has just lost it. And that's fine. I'm cool with that because, well, you know, we've already figured out normal is broke. And I don't want to be normal. My goal is total weirdness. You know, the Wall Street Journal says 70% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. I don't want to be normal. Figure out what most of the people are doing out there. Don't do it. You're in pretty good shape.
Okay, we're going to talk about being weird this morning. As he said, this is an uphill battle. So try and keep an open mind. Let the Spirit of God teach you what He wants to teach you. Let's start with Scripture, and we'll have Scripture all through here. It's in Romans 13:8. Might say this, that the average American has $7,400 in credit card debt. That's probably debt that you have nothing to show for it. So we're going to try and help you talk about getting debt-free, excluding your mortgage. We're not going to talk about that this morning. Owe nothing to anyone. That's pretty clear, right? Owe nothing to anyone except. Now, there's an exception. It's not credit cards, not even mortgages. It's except for your obligation to love one another. Now, is this a suggestion in Scripture? In fact, there aren't a lot of suggestions in Scripture. When Scripture speaks, what is it? It's a imperative. It's a command. And anybody that's been in the military, when the commanding officer gives a command, what do? You do it, right? Well, this is God's command to us, to owe nothing to anyone. Now, important issue here. Will God command you to do anything that you cannot do? Because I know some of you are sitting there thinking, I can't live without debt. Does God command us to do anything that you cannot do with His help? He doesn't, does He? So this can be, and God wants you, with His help, to be debt-free. Well, maybe you're wondering, what's the big problem? What's the big danger with debt? Well, let me give you some synonyms for the word debt. Owe, obligated, deficit, tied up, over your head, pauper, destitute, needy, deadbeat, hard up, bad off, beaten down, fleeced, busted, etc., etc. Feeling really good this morning now, right? Yeah, exactly. Not pleasant stuff. We're stuck when we're in debt, aren't we? No wonder we get stuck. And debt's something nobody wants to talk about. It's not a pleasant subject, is it? Yet it's a big danger for lots of reasons. But God says you can get out. You can be free. Anyone like to be a slave? Anybody? If they're offering that one ads, job as slave. Anybody answering the ad? Didn't think so. This scripture passage is not on your outline. You might want to write the reference down. It's Proverbs 22:7. It says this, rich rule over the poor, and the borrower, that's anybody in debt, right? The borrower is slave. You're already a slave. Nobody wanted to sign up for it, but if you're in debt, and most of us are, then you are a slave to the lender. You think God wants us to be slaves to anyone but Him? Absolutely not. So let me give you quickly some debt danger signs. All right? Maybe you're thinking, that's not a big problem with me. Well, let's see. First, you're living on credit instead of cash. Credit instead of cash. That means you need to use credit to maintain your lifestyle. That means you're in bad shape. You say, is this a sin? Yeah, there's a sin. You know what the sin is? It's the sin of presumption. I'm going to borrow today, presuming that I'll be able to pay it back tomorrow or at a later date. The experts tell us that statistics vary anywhere from, if you use a credit card instead of cash, when you go into a store, you will spend between 12 and 23% more. So let's just average at 17 or 18%. You want to have a savings of 17 or 18% on your store purchases? Take cash instead of a credit card. Instant savings. Second debt danger sign. Paying the minimum balance or even paying late. missing payments, late payments. Obviously, that's a danger sign. Thirdly, unable to tithe and or save. This is where God comes in, of course. He says, first 10% belongs to Him. And if your first 10% is going to the credit card company, it's not going to Him, right? Scripture says in Malachi that you're robbing God. I didn't say it, He did. The big problem is you're cutting yourself off from God's blessings. Tithing opens the door to God's blessings. Not tithing shuts the door to God's blessing. I don't know about you, but I want God's blessing, especially when it comes to my finances. So that's a danger sign. We'll talk about that more in a few minutes. Extravagant spending. Extravagant spending is a danger sign. What does that mean? It's buying stuff you can't afford. Dave Ramsey says it this way. We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. Big problem. Any testimonies? No, we all have done it, right? And lastly, get rich schemes. You ever watch late night TV? What are half the channels in late night? Well, buy my program for $99 and you can get rich in, 2 years, I don't know, with foreclosures, whatever the guy's peddling, right? Or gal. Of course, the worst offender is the lottery. Well, I'll just keep buying those lottery tickets. I was in the store a couple weeks ago. Guy plopped down like $50. I thought people just bought $5, $50 on a lottery ticket. Or tickets, I guess. No, you're not going to win. It's a pipe dream. That's a debt and danger sign. Do you have any of these? Hopefully not all of these. Then you're financially stuck. God wants to set you free. We're going to look at what the Bible says, obviously. And I'm pretty passionate about this subject. I guess you can already tell that. Jesus had more to say about money than everything but one other topic. Anybody know what the other topic is? The kingdom of God. The only thing Jesus talked more about than money was the kingdom of God. Why would he talk about it so much? Because he knew that this is a big area for you and I to get stuck. And this can also be a very powerful area where God can work. All right. I started off with 9. Actually, we now have 10 steps to becoming debt-free. All right, now I know what you're thinking. Normally a sermon has 3 or 4 points, right? Today's has got 10. You're going to be here all day. Now, so just your mind at ease. I'll just tell you that next week the sermon will be pointless to make up for it, okay? Now, we should be out here pretty much on time. And we'll do these pretty quickly. All right, so we need to be ready. You need to be writing, okay? Step number 1, commit to becoming debt-free. Commit to becoming debt-free. We only become what we're committed to, right? That's where it starts. Are you tired of being stuck? Are you tired of being a slave? Scripture says this in Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. See, that's another problem when we're in debt. You can't be a generous giver, can you? And if you borrow and don't pay it back, how does the scripture describe you? I don't think any of us want to be wicked, do we? But if you've got credit card debts and you're not paying them back, you are described by God as wicked. Do you have a plan to do it differently? God wants you to experience the peace, and folks, it is a tremendous peace to be debt-free. Somebody told me that after leaving the first service this morning, they become debt-free to people about my age. So that's old, right? I know. But they became debt-free since they've been coming to our church. It's probably been 7 or 8 years now. And it's different. First time in their lives, they've been debt-free. And folks, it's different. Is it easy? No. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not easy. But unless you do something differently, guess what? You're just going to get deeper and deeper in debt. It's called delayed gratification, something most of us aren't very good at, are we? That's what it takes. And God says he'll help. Any fool can get in debt, right? So we need to be wise. We need to have character. We need to be disciplined. And obviously, godly to get out of debt. So it all starts with a commitment. If you don't make the commitment, it's never going to happen. The rest of these steps aren't going to help. Commit to becoming debt-free. Secondly, list all I own and all I owe. This is a very practical step, and I'll warn you, this can be very shocking. Most of us don't understand how big a problem we're in. You put it down in black and white. I owe this much, I owe this much. And you might not like the bottom line you come up with. Put it down on paper. Scripture says this, by wisdom a house is built, through understanding it is established. So you need to understand, right? And the only way you're going to understand it is to write it down. And if you have no debt, thank God for it. I just pray that you stay there because it's easy. We even have these reverse mortgages, people that own their houses even, then go back into debt. Crazy. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. So you're sitting here thinking or maybe even saying, well, debt's not a problem in my house. Well, until you write it down, you may be saying something foolish. So get the facts. Thirdly, have a sale. Have a sale. Get rid of stuff you don't need. Anybody have any stuff you don't need? Everybody's got stuff. Garage, attic, basement, right? eBay, yard sale. We're getting into yard sale season, aren't we? Quickly watch a video clip of Dave Ramsey talking about this.
Sell something. Sell so much stuff the kids think they're next. Bust it. Name the dog eBay. Everything that is not tied down with the possible exception of your house may need a good selling. Look at it and go, you know, do I want that more than I want to be out of debt? Let's book. Let's kick this thing. You can always get you some more stuff later when you got some money.
All right. Right? You can always get more stuff. The point is, get out of debt. Do you have too much stuff? We all have too much stuff, right? We build spaces on, put little buildings out in the yard just to put the stuff in. We all have too much stuff. That's part of the problem that got us in this place we're in, right? Buying stuff. Now, I'm not a fisherman. They tell me this is an old joke about fishermen. The two greatest days in a boat owner's life is the day they buy their boat and the day they sell their boat. Why would that be? Do you need a boat unless you're a professional fisherman? No, you don't need to have a boat. So we need to admit, I've got more stuff than I need. I've got stuff I can sell. Now, important issue here. Do you have anything, if God told you to sell it, you couldn't do it? Do you have anything? Now, this was tough for me. Many of you know I built my own house. It's a very nice house. If God asked me to sell it, it'd be difficult. But I think I could do it. And I couldn't come up with anything else that would even be a problem for me. Somebody mentioned some, you know, pictures of their relatives. Well, I don't think you'd get anything for those anyway. So yeah, I don't think God's going to ask you to sell it, right? Why is that a big issue? Because if you can't sell it, guess what? It's an idol. What's Scripture say in Ezekiel? Each one of you must throw away. Another translation says get rid of. You know, if it's got value, you might as well sell it rather than throw it away. The hateful idols you have seen and liked. And anything that stands between you and God is an idol. It's okay to have stuff if you pay cash for it and you can sell it if God asks you to sell it or give it away, get rid of it. If it becomes an idol, it is sin. So, have a sale. It won't solve all your problems. It won't get you out of debt most likely, but it'll help. Point number four. Start paying God and yourself or you first. Now, this is kind of controversial. It seems counterintuitive. How can I pay God and start saving money when I'm in debt? Well, let me try and explain it to you. Proverbs 3:9-10. honor the Lord with your wealth in the best part. Some translations say first part of everything you produce. First part, best part of everything. Okay? Then you'll find your fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. We would say your bank accounts would be full, right? So, what is the key to God blessing your life? Honoring God first, right? If I don't honor God first, is He going to bless my life? No. Okay, so I want Him to bless my life by getting me out of debt. I've got to honor Him first. So then I tithe. We'll talk about that in a second. 1 Corinthians 16. Lots of scripture verses. This is just two. Regarding your question about money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, on the first day of each week, you should put aside a portion of the money you have earned for the offering. Each week, a portion of the money you have earned. So the Bible's clear. The first 10% belongs to God. It shouldn't even be a question. Get a check for $100, $10 goes to God before anything else. You don't even think about anything else. First 10%. How did you get into trouble you're in right now if you're in debt? By living on 110% of your income, right? Living on more than you make. That caused the problem. So the key is to spend less. Most of you think, well, if I just made more money. Most of us are making more money now than we ever did. And we're still in debt. So the key is not making more money. Because when you make more money, what do? You spend more money. Good. You're paying attention. So the key is to live on 80% of what you make. That's called the freedom zone. You say, well, I can't do that. If your employer cut your salary by 80%, what would you do? You still live, right? So why wait till somebody else does it? Do it yourself. Live on 80%, you give God the first 10%, and you save the second 10%. All right? You save it for initially for emergencies, then for retirement and layoffs, etc., etc. Albert Einstein, probably the smartest man that ever lived, said the most powerful force in the universe is something called compound interest. Now, when you're saving, putting money, oh, saving it, it continues to compound. That means you keep getting more and more money. Now, the banks are taking advantage of it when you're in debt, right? They're using this powerful force to make them money. So that's why you and I need to save so we can take advantage of this most powerful force in the universe. Now, this is a tough decision. I understand. I've talked to people over and over and over again, people I consider really mature Christians, and some of them still don't tithe. But here's the issue. Do you want God to be involved in your finances, especially getting yourself debt-free? That's why tithing is so powerful. It gets God involved. You got in debt without God being involved, then it would be a good idea to get God involved to get out of debt. So pay God first. Deuteronomy. Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship. Doing this will teach you always to fear the Lord your God. Another translation says, teach you to always put God first. If you're stuck in your finances, God's not first. As we talked about last week, remember the circles, those of you who are here? He's not on the throne of your finances. You are, and that's why you got stuck. The only way to get unstuck is to put God in charge in first place in your finances. And what happens? Well, what happens is big. God begins to bless your 90%. It goes farther than your original 100% would go. Well, it doesn't make sense. It's counterintuitive. Exactly. About half of what Jesus said was counterintuitive, right? You want to live, you got to die. You want to be great, you become a servant, etc., etc. So when you give a tithe, God's power gets involved. So let's look at our definition we're using for unstuck and apply it to our finances. moving forward in my life because I'm willing to give God complete control. Put Him on the throne or in the chair instead of myself. I can mess up my finances. God can fix them with His help. My question is, are you willing to try something different? A new plan, God's plan. It doesn't seem to make sense maybe, but God will show up big time if you take that step. So start by paying God and yourself first. Number five, set up a repayment plan. A repayment plan. All right, you got this list of stuff you owe, right? Probably bigger than you think, unfortunately. Set up a plan. All right, I'm going to pay this off and this off and this off. I'm going to put this much money to this. I'm going to commit to this. And you set up this payment plan. You give it a time. It's going to take me 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. But there's a plan. At a certain point in the future, I'm going to be debt-free. Scripture says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. So you got to have a plan, not, you know, some shortcut, a long-term plan. Where that target date is to for the payoff. Proverbs 20, get advice. Some translations say get godly advice. I think it's implied if you want your plans to work. So, use the information we're giving you today. We have Dave Ramsey's book that we'll give to you free if you're willing to read it. We're teaching the class. We'll continue to teach the class. If you're interested in that, let us know. But you got to make the commitment. He's also got a radio program, he's got a website, etc., etc. You probably don't realize how much this has got you weighed down. How freeing it will be to be set debt-free. Set up a repayment plan. Number six, decide to do it in half the time. You've written it down, you figure I can pay it off in 4 years, decide, no, I'm going to do it in with God's help, I'm going to do it in 2 years. This is the point where God gets involved, the miracle point, if you will. Scripture says this, what is impossible for people is possible with God. Is that true? Is that true? All right, let's read it together. You don't seem too convinced yet. What is impossible for people is possible with God. So I can pay, it takes me 4 years pay it off. God, with God's help, we can do it in 2 years. And maybe it'll take you 2.5 years or even 3 years. That'd still be wonderful, wouldn't it? God get involved. It's called a snowball effect. You ever make a snowball and start rolling it, and it just picks up momentum, picks up steam, doesn't it? It goes down the hill. And that's what will happen in your finances. Of course, the key again is with God's help. The question is, will you get God involved? Will you ask for His help? Or at what point will you ask for His help? Decide to do it in half the time. Number seven, another miracle point. Share your plan with your creditors. Now, if you're in bad shape, you've got creditors calling you. What you probably do is you got a caller ID and you don't answer, do you? You try and avoid them. No, that's not the right thing to do. Share your plan with your creditors. Scripture says this, pretty interesting. When people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies, and when you're in debt, your creditors are your enemies, are at peace with them. What does your creditor want? What's the creditor love? He loves to get his money back, right? So share your plan. Maybe you can't pay them $200 a month. Maybe you can only pay them $50 a month. Do you think they'll take the $50? 90% of the time, yes, they'll take the $50. And eventually you can increase it and pay it off. Well, they're not going to do that. How do you know they're not going to do that? Try it. Besides, you need God's help, right? When people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace. Share your plan. Number eight, add no new debt. Put an exclamation point there. It's like shooting yourself in a foot when you're trying to run a marathon. If you start adding debt when you're trying to get debt free, What's the secret? Let me tell you the secret, or Scripture will tell you the secret. Don't love money. Here it is. There's a secret. Underline it. Be satisfied with what you have. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. If you got God, what else do you really need? Right? Be satisfied with what you have. Contentment. The number one reason you are in debt is discontent. It's very rare we're in debt buying necessities. It's discontentment. Again, is this verse a suggestion? It's a command, right? You and I, as a Christ follower, if you're a Christ follower here this morning, we have no options. We need to do that. We need to be contented. So, turn to your neighbor this morning, whoever you're sitting next to, and say, be satisfied with what you have. Go ahead and do it. All right. Okay. Now, listen, I told you, God told you, and your neighbor told you. Okay? Be satisfied with what you have. Remember, God's never going to tell you to do something that you cannot do with His power. So you can be content. It's critical. Another verse. 1 Timothy. True godliness with contentment. There's the word. Is itself great wealth. You can have zero money in your bank account, but you're a wealthy person if you're godly and contented. So Scripture says. Critical. Add no new debt. Number 9. Yeah, I think we're going to get done on time. Doing good. Stick to it and trust God. Stick to it and trust God. Really important verse here in Galatians. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. Unless you can pay your debt off in a few weeks, you're going to get tired of this debt, getting out of debt plan that you have. You're just going to get tired. It's hard. So don't let yourself get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, you'll reap a harvest of blessing if you just don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. If you keep work, if you got a plan, you keep working the plan, eventually what? It'll work, right? You'll get out of debt if you do all the things we're talking about. You didn't get into debt overnight. You're not going to get out of debt overnight, are you? No easy solutions. But God wants you to grow up. He wants you to mature. And you're going to be a different person on the other side of this debt repayment plan than you are today. The freedom you have is unexplainable. And this could be your freedom day today. But you've got to make the commitment and then stick to it and trust God. Now, the reward is going to be probably years away. That's okay. As long as there's a plan and there's a date that you reach it. Not because you did it my way or your way, but because you did it God's way. And then number 10, it's not on the outline, you have to write it in. Pray. Pray. And Dave Ramsey is going to explain this to us.
Now, I don't really want to get religious about this. I just want to get spiritual. Let's think about it a second. You know, I'm no preacher guy. I don't have a degree in theology, but I'm just a regular guy. But here's the way I got it figured out. My Heavenly Father's absolutely crazy about me. Amen. He loves me. He's nuts about you. Your Heavenly Father thinks you are awesome. You're made in His image. He is proud of His handiwork. He thinks you're incredible. And He's really rich. He has the cattle on 1,000 hills, and Larry Burkett used to say he's got the hills too. The whole thing's His. Now here's the way I figure it. Here you sit deeply in debt and in a financial mess. You got a dad that loves you like crazy that's rich, and you hadn't phoned home. All I'm saying is phone home, E.T. Check in. Well, I don't know. I think he's kind of mad at me. He's not mad at you. He misses you. As a matter of fact, if you check in with the right heart and hadn't done it in a while, the Bible says, his love letter says, that he's going to throw a party and put a robe on your back and a gold ring on your finger and serve filet mignon. It's in there. Look it up. Prayer really works. Check it out.
Pray. Pray. commit to getting out of debt now. I mean, commitment is now. Put a date on it. Have a plan. Commit to living on 80%, tithing 10%, saving 10%. And then there's something more important than everything we talked about this morning. It's following God's plan for your whole life. There's a debt that no matter how much you earn or make, you cannot pay. It's called a sin debt. What do you do? Well, God has a solution. We owe a debt we cannot pay, and this verse on your last verse on your outline says this. Colossians. He canceled the debt. So if I can't pay it, somebody else has to take care of it, right? So God says, I'll take care of it. I cancel the debt, which lists all the rules we failed to follow. He took away the record with its rules. What did he do with it? How did he take care of it? Nailed it to the cross. You know, it might take you 3, 4, 5, 6 years to get out of financial debt. You can get rid of this debt just like that. It's a gift. God says, I will cancel it if you ask me to. Right? If you accept my son, Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross for you, I'll cancel the debt. And you can have a personal relationship with me. You can be forgiven instantly out of debt, but you have to ask. That's where it all begins. Let's pray. Father God, we want to pray for anyone here that may still owe you their sin debt. They've never decided to become a follower of yours. They want to be their own boss, live by their own rules. And as I often say, that's working for you, great. Chances are it's not, because Scripture says you are living with a burden of guilt and shame for the mistakes you've made. We all make mistakes. And there's no way to get rid of those. It's a debt you cannot repay. So God decided to pay it for you. A free gift to you. The greatest gift. A debt you cannot repay being canceled. I encourage you this morning to be set free from that burden of guilt and shame that only comes from salvation and a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And God, then there's this burden of debt, financial debt, that many of us have. And God, we're going to draw the line in the sand today, saying, today I commit to becoming debt-free with your help. I want you to be part of my debt-free plan. I'm going to commit my first 10% to you. I'm going to save my next 10%. I'm going to read Dave Ramsey's book or take his class or talk to someone. I'm going to write it all down. I'm going to take this seriously. Scripture says that where your money is, that's where your heart is also. If your mind's focused in on the anxiety of being in debt, you can't focus on God. He wants to set you free. God, I don't know anybody's finances situation here this morning, but you do. God, we want that miracle to happen. That miracle of freedom, both for our sins as well as our finances. God, we want to be generous givers. We need to be contented. That's tough. That's hard, especially in our culture. So God, I pray for the miracle of contentment. God, we want to honor you with our lives. And part of that's honoring you with our finances. This is not easy. This is tough. We need your help. So we're going to pray. We're going to check in with you and do what you tell us to do. For your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I know this has been a lot to absorb this morning, and you don't have to get it all. But you need to decide what you're going to do. This major area of your life. We encourage you to just try and figure out what God's saying to you this morning and commit to that. If we can help in any way, we're here to help. We want to help. Thank you.